Anybody need a charge? Got the Energizer. Got the Energizer up here. Well, good evening. We're going to pick up tonight from last Wednesday. Does anybody remember what we talked about last Wednesday? All right. Aisha, come get your battery back. Righteous judgment. Righteous judgment. So we talked about righteous judgment last Wednesday, and just going to pick up on a few nuggets, thoughts around that this evening. For the sake of recap, for those of you who weren't here last Wednesday or didn't have a chance to stream, there's a lot going on in the world at the moment, and there has been a lot that has happened, a lot that is taking place. And there are a lot of messages that are out there, and we need to make sure that we have God's mindset on what we're seeing and what we're hearing. Because not everything you see and not everything you hear is God. I hope you know that, but in case you don't, now you know. And so we want to make sure that what we're seeing, we have the mind of Christ, we have the thought process of God, and we have his consciousness on it. And we see it with his eyes. And if we don't understand what's going on or why it's happening, then we have to be patient enough to wait until God shows us and not come with our opinion or make something up. It's okay to have an opinion, but please acknowledge it as your opinion and not God said. Because there are a lot of thoughts that go through the mind. And not every thought is God. Not every thought is bad, but it doesn't necessarily mean that it's God. You have a born-again nature. You have the mind of Christ. You can think godly thoughts. But Paul said the Spirit expressly says this and that. And so it's important to distinguish between your thoughts and what the Spirit is expressly saying at that moment. Doesn't mean that all your thoughts are bad. They may be born-again thoughts, mind of Christ thoughts. But we want to differentiate that between what the Spirit expressly is saying about that situation and about that moment. So we want to understand what we're seeing and see with the eyes of God, and we want to make sure that we're judging it the way that God is judging it. Make sure that you're judging that situation the way God is judging it. And we said to judge means to come to a conclusion about, to make a determination concerning. Well, I see this going on. I judge that as this, because it aligns with God's word, God's Spirit. I see this and I judge it as not being of God, because the word says so, or because the Spirit of God says so, and it aligns with the Spirit of the word. So we want to make sure that we are judging with God's mindset, with God's thoughts. And we found out last week that God has called us to judge. God has called believers to judge. And we're told a lot by the world, don't judge. You can't judge me. I'm not here. You shouldn't be here to judge me. And see, the Bible says, judge not. So believers shouldn't judge. But we found out last week it doesn't say judge not. It says, judge not lest ye be judged, for the same judgment that you render, it will be rendered back to you. For the same measure that you use to judge, it will be rendered or measured back to you. So it's saying be careful the way you judge, not just judge not, because if you don't want to be judged for doing the same thing that someone else is doing, saying the same thing that someone else is saying, then don't judge. Because when you do that, see the plank or stick in your brother or sister's eye and don't see the plank in your own, then you say, I want that measured back to me the same way I'm measuring it to someone else. But the Bible says we're called to judge. And we found out last week that he's called believers to judge legal matters in the church. Paul told the church at Corinth, he said, y'all can't judge this between yourselves. You take it to the world's court, and you should be able to judge it within the church. I don't know how much of the church is ready to address legal matters and issues between believers within the church. But God says we're able to. And instead of taking your brother or sister to small claims court, can you not talk it out, work with leadership in the church to figure out what's the right thing to do in this situation? But he said you should be able to judge certain matters within the body because you have been given authority to do so. He says that we will judge angels. He says that we will judge the world. It says in Corinthians that we should be judging prophecy. It says let two or three stand by, sit by to judge whether or not the word of prophecy that's coming forth is of God or not. That means that across the body of Christ globally, not every prophetic word that comes forth is of God. It needs to be judged by this. And so God has set prophets in the church. But to distinguish between the real prophets and the wannabe or false prophets, there should be judges in the church to judge whether or not that is in violation of this. It doesn't have to be, the prophecy doesn't have to be word for word scripture. I can read that here. But it shouldn't violate and should go along with the spirit of it is written. And Paul said, if anyone comes to you, even an angel, preaching another gospel other than the one that we presented, let them be a curse to you. We're told to rightly judge the body of Christ during communion. And that because some believers don't rightly judge the body of Christ and what it means, and take communion to be an opportunity to get some juice and crackers because I didn't eat breakfast before I came to church. If that's the way you judge the body, he said some of you are sick and some among you have fallen asleep because you've not rightly judged the body of Christ in communion. We're also told to judge overt and sustained sin in the body within the church. And our example given was in Corinthians, where a man had his father's wife. And Paul said, I've already judged that situation as being wrong, as being something that needs to be stopped in the body. So God said, judge it because it can affect the whole body. Still in recap, our theme scripture can be found in John chapter 7 and verse 24. Jesus speaking says, do not judge according to appearance. Don't judge solely by what you see. Many times people see other people and they make their mind up about other people before they get to know them. It's called a rush to judgment. They see the way they look, the way they're dressed, and they make a judgment about who they are. You've heard the phrase, you can't judge a book by its cover. Sometimes that's true. Sometimes people confirm the cover that you see. But you can't lead in with that. You have to be slow to speak and quick to listen. So do not judge according to appearance, but how? Judge with righteous judgment. We're told to judge with righteous judgment. So how do we judge by righteous judgment? We said last week, in order to judge by righteous judgment, we have to first judge by the word. Is this in line with the word, or does it violate the word of God? Does it violate scripture? And if it does, then we don't want to be a part of it. We don't want it in our life. We don't want it in our thinking. Judge with righteous judgment by judging by the word, or judging by the Spirit of God. Does this resonate with the Spirit within me? Is there peace in me about it that goes along with the peace of the word? We have to learn how to listen and hear in our spirit versus listening here with the senses. And we're going to get more into that tonight. But don't judge by appearance. Judge by what the Spirit of God is saying about that situation. Judge by what the Spirit is saying about what you're seeing and hearing in the news. It says, watch and pray. Don't just watch the news on autoplay. No, watch the news, and if you're seeing things, pray against it. Judge it. That's not God. I pray against that. Watch and pray. Prayer is an opportunity. It is your watchtower that you watch from in prayer. And as you see things, you judge them and you pray against them. Not your will, but His will be done. And then we also said, always lead with mercy and grace. You can always come back and be hard and be strong if you need to. But if you lead with condemnation, sometimes it's hard. Not necessarily impossible, but sometimes it's hard to come back with mercy. But if you lead with mercy and grace to begin with, and the person is not responding, and you continue to lead with mercy and grace, you can always come with correction, with conviction, with judging that matter and that issue concerning that person. But sometimes when people don't lead with mercy and grace, they do so much damage to the person by giving them a piece of their mind, it's now hard to come back and decide to be merciful or full of grace. So we're talking about, how do we make righteous judgments, or how do we judge rightly? And in doing that, it's important to ask the question, do I understand what I'm seeing? Do I understand what I'm hearing? And to be aware of that and conscious of that as you're seeing and hearing it and not make snap judgments, but seek to get the mind of Christ and the Word of God and the Spirit of God on what you're seeing. The Bible says, lean not to your own understanding about the way you see things. John chapter 9. Verse 1. As he passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned? They assumed unrighteous judgment. They assumed that someone sinned. Who sinned, this man or his parents, that he would be born blind? Jesus answered, neither. They made a judgment call based on their religion, based on their mindset, based on what they were seeing, and Jesus said, neither. It's not an issue of sin. It was neither that this man sinned nor his parents, but it was so that the works of God might be displayed in him. We look at Job and what happened to Job in Job's life. And how did Job judge what was taking place in his life? Job chapter 1, let's turn there. In verse 21, we know that Job was attacked by Satan. God gave him permission, but it was Satan that was attacking him. Job said in verse 21, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. The Lord gave, and the Lord has now taken away. But the Lord didn't take away from Job. The devil took away from Job. But he assessed it, and he found out later that God is good. And that God is the one who restores for his people who have a covenant. And the devil is the one who takes away. But Job judged and he assessed, the Lord has given and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We see Job's friends in Job chapter 4 in verse 7. Accuse Job of sinning. Remember now, whoever perished being innocent? Or where were the upright destroyed? According to what I have seen, those who plow iniquity and those who sow trouble harvest it. Apparently, Job, you did something wrong. But it wasn't that Job did anything wrong, it's that the devil was attacking him. But they judged the situation. They assessed the situation incorrectly. In Job chapter 8, in verse 20, we see his friends at it again. Lo, God, these are great friends. Lo, God will not reject a man of integrity, nor will he support the evildoers. If you were a man of integrity, Job, this wouldn't be happening to you. Just because you see something bad going on in someone's life doesn't mean they've done something wrong. Listen here in your spirit to understand and see what's going on. Righteous judgment is not judgment by appearance or what you see or how you reason on the outside. Job chapter 11. In verse 13, Job's friends are at it again. Job, if you would direct your heart right and spread out your hand to him, if iniquity is in your hand, put it far away and do not let wickedness dwell in your tents. Then indeed you could lift up your face without moral defect, and you would be steadfast and not fear. For you would forget your trouble as waters that have passed by, you would remember it. Your life would be brighter than noonday. Darkness would be like morning. Job, if you would just be upright. We had his friends trying to judge and assess the situation solely based on their reasoning. So righteous judgment, we have to make sure that we don't judge by appearance. And we also have to make sure that we don't judge by religion or the traditions of men. Matthew chapter 12. In verse 1, Matthew 12, 1, at that time Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath, and his disciples became hungry and began to pick the heads of grain and eat. But when the Pharisees saw this, they said to him, "Look, your disciples do what is not lawful to do on a Sabbath." But he said to them, "Have you not read what David did when he became hungry, he and his companions, how he entered the house of God and they ate the consecrated bread, which was not lawful for him to eat, nor for those with him, but only for the priest." It was not lawful. When you are a legalist, you will judge people inappropriately all the time. When you are a legalist, there is the law of Moses, the law that Moses gave, let me say that, and then there is the law of the Spirit. And Romans tells us that the law of the Spirit has set us free from the law of sin and death. The only area I want to be legal in is where the Spirit of God is concerned, and where the new covenant word of God is concerned, not the law. But when you are a legalist, you will judge people inappropriately all the time, because you are not coming from the heart of God. You are coming from law, and the Bible says that knowledge puffs up. It's not lawful for him to eat, nor for those with him, but for the priest alone. Or have you not read in the law that on the Sabbath the priest in the temple break the Sabbath and are innocent? Let's read that again. Or have you not read in the law that on the Sabbath the priest in the temple break the Sabbath and are innocent? In order to avoid being a legalist, you have to always understand God's true intent when he gave the law that he gave. That's going from legalism to new covenant spirit. Jesus did not come to destroy the law. He came to fulfill the law. What's the fulfillment, the reality behind the things that we see in the Old Testament? That's where we want to live, in the fulfillment of the types and the shadows that we see in the law. But when you're a legalist, you're not interested in the true heart and spirit and meaning behind what God said. You're just interested in what it said on the surface. So have you not read in the law that on the Sabbath, the priests in the temple break the Sabbath and are innocent? But I say to you that something greater than the temple is here. If you are willing to break the law for the sake of the temple, there is something now greater than the temple here. Can we not break it for this reason, which is a much better reason, a much stronger reason, a much more kingdom reason? But if you had known what this means, if you had known the true intent of the word given in the Old Testament, of the word given in the law, if you had known what this means, I desire compassion and not sacrifice. If you had understood the true intent behind what I said, you would not have condemned the innocent. Sometimes we condemn the innocent, our brothers and sisters in Christ, because we don't understand the true intent behind what God is looking for, the true heart. Well, I don't like what they're wearing. Well, they got tattoos. Their skirt's too short. I saw them drinking wine. No, if you don't understand the true intent and the true spirit behind what God says about these things, you will falsely judge believers. You will condemn the innocent. God is interested in the heart. Yes, we want to do what we can do not to offend people. But God is interested in what is in a person's heart, not what's on the outside. Yes, we want proper manners in the church. Yes, we don't want to distract people in the church. But sometimes new believers coming in don't know that. But yet they get judged. The innocent are condemned because of religion. If you would have known what this meant, what my true heart was, you would have not done that. You would have not judged them falsely. You would have not condemned the innocent. So many times we seek to understand what's happening around us and what's going on around us. Some people have sought and continue to seek to understand what's going on with COVID. You know, is this God doing something? You know, why did this storm happen? Why did this storm take place? What's happening with the Capitol? What happened with the Capitol riot? What is God trying to do here? What's going on? And you hear and see people making judgment calls not based in spirit, not based in the word, but based on their opinion and their own reasoning. Racial injustice, racial inequality, and what's been going on with that, people making judgments based on appearance, based on the flesh, based upon natural reasoning, versus based on it is written. If I'm making judgments based on it is written, I can't defund the police. I can't want to defund the police. What does your Bible say about the police? It is an institution that God has established, and are they not servants, and they don't bear the sword in vain? If you want to be free from condemnation, do what's right. But he says the authorities are in place for a reason and hold a position for a reason. Do adjustments need to be made within that authority? Yes. In some pockets, in some areas, yes, absolutely. But do I want to get rid of an institution that God has established? Do I want to get rid of a principle that God has established by defunding it? By the attitude and mindset of defunding it? No. Now, I'm not talking about anything that happened, you know, years ago where we were looking to move government funds, tax funds from one area to another. I'm talking about the idea of defunding something that God has established. Correction? Yes. Changes and adjustments? Yes. Getting rid of institutions and the principles of institution that God has set? No. Why do I judge it that way? It's not based on the way that I was raised. I can tell you that. It's not based upon what I saw as I was raised. I can tell you that. It comes from a renewed mind. Understanding what God has said about the authorities in the earth. So I want to be where he is and have his mind concerning that. That's why the word says be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You won't be changed and effective in the earth unless you renew your mind and renew your thinking. Righteous judgment is where we want to be, is where we want to live. Don't judge by appearance. Don't be so quick to reach a conclusion. And don't rush to judgment. How do we continue to do this? Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18. I pray that your natural eyes... Is that what it says? I pray that the eyes of your heart or the eyes of your understanding may be enlightened so that you will know. If you want to know something about the things of God or about what God is doing or what's going on, you need to have your eyes enlightened. And it's not your natural eyes. The Bible says that these are eyes. Eyes live right here. The eyes of your spirit, the eyes of your heart, the eyes of your understanding need to be enlightened so that you can know what God is saying, know what God is doing. In the context of this verse, it's knowing what is the hope of his calling and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. But the same way that you know this is the same way you know everything and understand everything about the things of God, having the eyes of your understanding enlightened. If you don't understand what you're seeing, what's going on, and you're trying to judge it rightly, stop. Pray. God, open the eyes of my understanding so that I can know what it is that's going on here. When you see a child behaving a certain way, don't be too quick to say it's this. There may be something else going on. Stop. Pray. Lord, open the eyes of my understanding that I may know and see what's going on right here. When we're having an altar call and someone comes up for prayer, they may say they want or need prayer for this. But if you will stop and listen, God might, not all the time, but God might say they're asking for prayer for this, but they need this. Lord, open the eyes of my understanding that I may see, that I may know, that I may properly and righteously judge this situation and what's going on. Listen to God. Pray about what you're seeing. If you judge according to appearance, what do they call a doctor, or what do they call it when a doctor judges incorrectly? A misdiagnosis. If a doctor doesn't take the time to dig deep, particularly in a complicated situation or a complicated issue, if they don't take the time to dig deep, they may come up with a misdiagnosis. If we don't stop to listen and hear what God is saying, we may misdiagnose the situation that's going on. And when there is a misdiagnosis, they perform the wrong procedure. We don't want to perform the wrong procedure. We want to get it right. We don't want to prescribe the wrong medication or the wrong thing. We want to get it right. Usually I have a standing rule. When someone shows you who they are, believe them. But I have to adjust that because sometimes there may be something deeper going on or happening with that person. Lord, open the eyes of my understanding that I may see clearly what's going on with this person, what's going on with this child, what's going on with this family member. I still hold to that rule in a lot of situations because usually when people show you who they are, I've been burned enough to say, I saw that. I saw that coming. If I would have just believed what they were telling me by their actions, I would have seen that coming. So now I believe people. If you tell me you a character, I'm going to believe it. Not if you tell me, if you show me. But I have to adjust and be open to say, Lord, I don't want to lead with that, but I want your heart and your mind in case I might be missing it or missing what's going on here. Lord, open the eyes of my understanding. Cause me to see clearly what's going on. Lastly, Proverbs chapter 10. Nope, that's not the right verse I was trying to go to, but it is in Proverbs. Proverbs says, be slow to speak and quick to listen. Again, don't rush into judgment. Wait a second. Let me pray here so I can get the mind, because I was about to go off on you, but I was about to react and not respond. In a measured spirit always responds, they don't react. Reaction comes out of the senses, emotions. A godly response can come from having the eyes of your understanding open to see clearly what's happening, what's going on here. And so I may have to watch my words and be slow to speak and quick to listen and hear so that I can get some context around what I just saw with my eyes, because my eyes may deceive me sometimes. Hold on. It might not be what you think you saw. It might be, but it might not be. Let me see if I can get some more context here before I open my mouth. Let me see if I can be slow to speak and quick to listen. Because I think you just said this and you just told me this. But let me make sure, because I want to judge righteously. We want to have the mind of Christ. We want to have the thought process of God. We want to judge the way God judged. If we don't judge righteously, then there is a place for people to tell us not to judge. But when we're judging righteously and judging the way that God said judge, God says you should be judging. I have called my body, my believers, to judge in these different areas. Just make sure you have my heart. Make sure that you are slow to speak, quick to hear. Make sure that you aren't judging by religious tradition, man-made tradition, but by the true heart and spirit of the Word of God, the will of God, the Spirit of God, the flow of God, the kingdom of God, and not the words written on a stone tablet, but the heart of those words. I don't do my brother wrong, not because it's on some stones, but that's God's heart. God said, I'll take the hard heart out and replace it with a tender, malleable, pliable heart. That is the heart that we want to, and it's on the inside of us. As we renew our minds by the Word of God, it becomes more and more alive in us in manifestation. So let's let that be our heart. Let's let that be our mindset, that we are righteous judges deputized by God to enforce His will in the earth. Amen? Amen. Pastor Richard?
Don't judge. God is good. You can judge that. God is good. And His mercy endures forever. Hallelujah. If you hadn't been here all week or any this week and you've looked around in some of the rooms, no, we are not testing missiles. We are getting stuff ready to move. You know all about that. Just a quick mention, there's a lot of stuff in the entryway over here. If you see anything in there you want other than the tables and the coffee service thing and the TV, anything that's sitting on the tables or on the floor, if you see something you want, help yourself. What's not taken by Saturday is going in that big blue dumpster that's outside, along with a lot of other stuff that we're going to come across. But we are in process, in progress, and I'm excited about what God is doing, where He's taking us, and what's going to happen here shortly. Amazing things. Amazing things. Hallelujah. Stand with me. Praise You, Father. Praise You, Father. Father, we thank You for the word that we've heard tonight. Thank You, Lord, that it is life to us. It is Your life to us, and we are energized. We are charged. We are changed by Your word, Father God, because that's what You sent Your word to do. And we choose to hang on to that word, to choose to cause that word, allow that word to become life to us and to produce fruit, the peaceable fruit of righteousness. Father, and I thank You that You are leading us and guiding us by Your Spirit into all truth. And it's not just what we see with our eyes, but it's what we know in our heart, that what You are leading us into, Father God, and what others around us are doing, we look to You, Father God. We always look to You, and we celebrate You tonight, Father God. We bless Your name. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, I call you blessed. I say you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, and everywhere you go, you are the sweet-smelling aroma of His presence in every place. You are ministers and ambassadors of the kingdom of God, and you show forth His praises and His righteousness as you take your place in dominion that God gave us from the very beginning, that we don't allow things to go on in the spirit that we know is not of God. We have His authority. We have His command to speak and to see things change. You are blessed, surrounded with favor, lack for nothing, and no feeble among our households. We are blessed of the Lord. You're dismissed. We will see you bright early in the morning. No. If you want to, we'll be here, but We're working every day, all day long. So look at the map or these things, the schedules, things that are posted everywhere, and find where you're supposed to be plugged in, and we'll see you then. God bless you.